God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to these stations to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. And here now is Jerry to introduce our broadcast.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Again today, Brother Hutchings and I are going to reminisce about his life as chronicled in his book, As It Is in the Days of Noah. Now, this is the new updated edition. You may have the original, but you'll want to get a copy of this new one. We're talking about that book today, about the information in it, the life of Brother Hutchings. And it's a 360-page book, by the way, and we'll make it available to you as well. Now, on yesterday's program, I thought we had gotten ourselves out of the war, but I think Brother Hutchings wants to go back and revisit that. But then you also have another special announcement before we even get to that part of the program.
Yes, I want to remind the listeners over the stations which carry our program that this is Station Identification and Response Month. This summer, it seems though that some stations, we hardly ever hear from anyone. In the summertime, most people are doing something else, going on vacations. Also, the gasoline problem, expense going up, up, up. And there are other factors. I hear the same from other religious broadcasters that I communicate with. It's been a very difficult summer, and we came into summer with several unexpected burdens that we were not aware of, and this has also put us in a severe financial bind. And I just want to let every listener who listens to this program, enjoys our Watchman on the Wall ministry, that we're having to look at stations closely this month. And if you want our program to stay on the station to which you listen, I'm going to ask you to either call or write, because we really need to hear from you. Each station costs anywhere from $10 a day up to over $400 a day. Some stations cost only a few hundred dollars a month. Some cost $1,000, $2,000, or $3,000. Some cost up as much as $8,000. It depends on the coverage and the population where the station is located. So we need to hear from everyone who loves this program and wants it to stay on the station. Just let us know the station that you listen to and your offering for the station on which we are on may determine whether we continue on that station or not. Our mailing address is Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. You can check on our website. You can give your offering or station identification information on our website, www.swrc.com. You can call on our watch line, 800-652-1144, and when the announcer comes on or voice comes on, just punch 1, and that will get you an operator. Well, thank you, Jerry, and you be much in prayer for the ministry.
That's right, Brother Hutchings. And incidentally, every month we do mailings, and those of you who respond by mail, on the back of the envelope is a place that you can just jot down the call letters of your station. If you do that, that would really be a big help to us. And, of course, especially this month, we really need to hear from you. So please take this to heart and pray about it. And if you could send a gift along with that letter or when you phone in or go to the website, that would certainly be helpful. Now, Brother Hutchings, yesterday we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I thought we were through with the war, but I believe you have some things you'd like to share about your experiences over there in the South Pacific.
Yes, going back to World War II, you know, when World War II began on December 7th, 1941, the population of the United States was only about half what it is now, and we'd just come out of the Great Depression. Yet, at that time, I think most Americans were patriotic. Most Americans, I think, went to church. There was no doubt as to who we believed in or what we believed. There was no doubt about our nation, supporting our country, taking the Pledge of Allegiance. There was no dispute about that. There was no dispute about prayer and Bible reading in school. And we were all dedicated on saving our nation and our way of life. And we put 16 million plus men and women in uniform. Now, you think of what it took. It took barracks to house all these men and women. And it took facilities. It took beds. It took sheets. It took mattresses. It took about 100 million pairs of pants, 100 million shirts, maybe 200-300 million pairs of shorts and socks and hats and guns. Most soldiers, whether they were men or women, either one, had a gun, an M1 or a carbine or a pistol. And then there were howitzers, 105 howitzer, 155, 90 millimeters, tanks, airplanes, ships by the thousands and thousands and thousands. How did we do that? How did we do that? How could a country all at once put 16 million in plus in uniform and provide all the clothing, all the food, the mess kits, the silverware, the beds, the housing? How could they do that? I don't think we could do that today, and we have twice as many people. Today, it's hard for us to keep 2 million people in uniform. But it was a different age. We were a different people then than we are now.
That's absolutely true. As a matter of fact, you mentioned the patriotism of that day. I, of course, was just a child when World War II was going on, but I don't recall reading about demonstrations against the war like we have seen in Vietnam and now in Iraq. So it was a different day. I think the people's attitude toward this country was markedly different than it is today.
And we hear a lot about the conditions in the Army and arguing about this and that. You know, I spent 3 years plus in the South Pacific. I think I had 5 birthdays overseas, and every one of them was on a ship, either going or coming or between islands. But we existed on what we had. The United States at that time was supplying an army in North Africa, an army in England, supplying Russia with supplies and ammunition, as well as the Allies in Europe. You think of all the shipping that was required, the space. Over in the Pacific, our army depended upon Australia, had contracts with Australia to provide us meat while we were over there. But the only thing I ever saw from Australia was goat ribs. And I'm serious about that. Every day it was goat ribs, but they were not edible. They would put them in a pot and boil them and then dump a sauerkraut on them and then dig a hole and bury them. Every day it was the same routine. They were provided, the cooks had to do it even though they could not be eaten. And they had dehydrated foods. Instead of real food, we had dehydrated peas, we had dehydrated carrots, we had dehydrated potatoes, we had dehydrated eggs. The cooks didn't know how to cook it. It was not edible. They would put them and soak them and then put them in an oven and bake them, and they would come out like soupy, watered potatoes. There was no taste to them, so they were not edible. I think I lost down to 100 pounds. We had sea rations, but they taste like they had kerosene in them. I couldn't eat it. We had K rations that were somewhat edible, but those were just very sparse rations. So it was not easy. And there was no place to go in the Pacific, no place. We would walk from one camp to another, or from this position to another from time to time. And when we would walk, we would take off a limb and we'd go in single file, and you hit the pellets back in front of you and knock the mosquitoes off. By the time you drew back to hit it again, it would be black with mosquitoes. And those were the conditions that we lived in over there. And yet we survived, and we won the war. And it's just hard to think about today when you see all the discontent, all the arguing, the ACLU, and all these strange court decisions. It's not a pleasant thing to think about or even contemplate when you think of what we went through in World War II. And this is part of the story that I have in As It Is in the Days of Noah. My war years that I cover in the book took a chapter or two on that.
Mm-hmm. We, of course, mentioned yesterday and the day before, I think, some of the humorous anecdotes, but this is serious. This was a serious time in the life of our country and in Brother Hutchings' life, and it's in that book, As It Is in the Days of Noah, the new updated edition. Let me read to you, though, just a few of the things that some of the people have said about the original book. Someone wrote in and said, "It is now must reading for my history class. What a beautiful and exciting life. Thanks for letting it all hang out." And Brother Hutchings really does do that. It's got the warts and all, right, Brother Hutchings?
Yeah, my lawyer cut out of 100 pages, I think.
It could have been even wartier than it is. And another person said that your humor really spices up this book, and that is true. Brother Hutchings has a unique sense of humor. And so, folks, you want to call and get a copy of this book. The phone number is 800-652-1144. Now, if you want to write for it, the mailing address is Southwest Radio Church Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or you can go to the website, www.swrc.com. One copy of the book for a gift of $18, two copies for your gift of $30. And if you want more than that, just call during regular hours. And by the way, the call center is open from 7:30 in the morning until 6 in the evening Central Time, Monday through Friday, and you can actually talk to someone in person if you call during those hours. As It Is in the Days of Noah, the new updated edition, it's available right now.
You know, Brother Jerry, I go out on meetings and always ask the audience, how many have a copy of my book, As It Is in the Days of Noah? And about half of them will usually hold up their hands. And I tell them that if they didn't like the book or they want their money back, to come up and I'll refund their money. And I have yet to have anyone come up and ask for their money back.
Well, as a matter of fact, I remember someone had called and said that they had a copy of it. I think it had either given it away or worn it out, one or the other, and wanted another copy. So sometimes people have even ordered more than one. It's an unusual book. It is an autobiography, and Brother Hutchings' life is, and like he said, he lets it all hang out. And so I would highly recommend that you call and get a copy of this book. And when you do that, be sure to tell us the station, the call letters of the station you're listening to right now. If you don't happen to know the call letters, give us the dial position. We'll be able to figure it out.
Thank you, Jerry. You know, the war ended in August, I believe it was 1945. I got home in January. I actually left the latter part of November or first part of December in time the trip back home and got marshaled out of the Army. Got home, it was in January, and there was nothing to do at home. You know, all the soldiers and sailors and airmen were returning, no jobs, and I didn't want to hang around the house. So I checked in the second semester at a school here in Oklahoma City, got a degree in accounting and business administration, and I needed a job for a couple of weeks. I had a job opening up with the Firestone Rubber Company. But I needed a job for 2 weeks, and I looked in the paper, and there was a job listed for part-time typing, and I was a good typist, and I could type probably close to 100 words a minute, fairly accurately. So I applied and got the job, and it was in the office of Dr. E.F. Weber at Southwest Radio Church Ministries. So I went to work, and Dr. Weber came up to the office, and he found out that I had a degree in accounting, and he was having trouble with his income tax. And I've told this story several times before the radio. There may be some listening today who have not heard it. And so he wanted me to help him on his income tax. And I said, sure, I'd just soon do that. I'd rather do that than type. So I got his income tax papers down and all his records, and I made some derogatory remarks about his accounting system and his chance of winning the case. And so that upset him, so he fired me. So I said, okay, that's okay. A part-time job doesn't make any difference anyway. So I got my coat and started down the stairs. And he met me down the stairs, and he said, son, do you like to fish? I said, sure, I like to fish. He said, well, why don't we go fishing? Well, I was a pragmatist that time. I had nothing else to do, so sure. This old fella just fired me, and now he's taking me fishing. So we went out to Lake Hefner here in Oklahoma City and got in a boat, went out and caught fish. We caught a lot of sand bass. And, you know, he explained the gospel to me. And I could tell that he was very sincere, and he really believed what he was telling me. And I had been to church most of my life, but I never joined a church, never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I was saved out on the lake. And so he says, son, would you like to come back to work tomorrow? I said, well, I don't have anything else to do. He said, I believe God has a plan for your life. And so I came back to work the next morning, and that was around April the 1st. In fact, I think it was April the 1st, 1951. And so I've been there ever since.
You know, Brother Hutchings, as you told that story, I was thinking back to something that you talked about on, I think, the first program that we did this week, where you were telling about when you had the appendicitis attack. God protected you from that. He saved your life at that time. You went through World War II, and he protected you there. You didn't elect to stay in the military and make that a career, because God had another plan for your life. And it's just what Dr. Weber told you. He really does have a plan for not only your life, but for all of our lives. And each of us has kind of a unique story about our salvation experience. I remember that Paul was on the Damascus Road, and some people say, well, I never had a Damascus Road experience. But you don't have to. You can be saved on the lake fishing. Our Brother Hutchings was. So, folks, if you've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we would recommend that you consider that. And if you want some help with that, call our 800 number and ask for one of the ministers here. We'd be happy to help you to show you how, through the Scriptures, that you too can be saved, just like Brother Hutchings was out there on that lake, 1951?
Yes. You know, we hear today you have to go through a book to learn God's purpose for your life, but I never questioned God's purpose for my life after I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. And if I have one thing going for me, it is that I never question God's will. And if someone would come up to me and say, well, let's go to Mongolia tomorrow and we go out on the Gobi Desert and pass out Bibles to the nomads, well, I would go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been like that. Mm-hmm. I've never questioned God's will. I've never regretted, really, a decision I made for the Lord since I accepted Him as Savior. I always just accepted it as part of His plan and purpose for me. And I know He has a course for me to run.
Mm-hmm.
And He'll keep me well enough to do it until that course is run. And I have that faith. And I never worry about problems. Of course, I know we have problems. We have burdens. I have them same as those who listen. But as I've said many times, God often places burdens and trials on us just to show how great He is in helping us overcome them.
That's the absolute truth. And Brother Hutchings, you have a kind of way of doing things. I've heard you tell it before about what you do in order to get through each day and go on to the next. Tell us about that.
I just do the best I can with the talent God has given me and the time He's given me to do it in. Then I go home, go to sleep.
There you go. That's a good philosophy. I think not all of us can do that, but we'd be well off, or better off, I should say, if we could do that.
I accept Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And you know, there are many Christians out there listening today. If they would simply accept that, that'd take a big monkey off their back.
Amen. That's the truth. When we trust the Lord, we know that He's going to do everything right. He'll never make a mistake, and if we'll just trust Him, we'll be certainly far further along than we would be trying to do it ourselves, or at least that's been my experience.
And you know, Brother Jerry, I think that's why this book is so popular. It's the most popular book I've ever written. It's a book that really I didn't want to write.
Yes.
But as it turned out, there have been more of it printed than any other book I've ever written.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, Brother Hutchings. I personally enjoy reading biographies and autobiographies, and yours is one that I have thoroughly enjoyed. My wife and I got a copy of, you autographed it for us, by the way, back in, I think it was in July of 1998 when the book first came out. And I've read it, and she's read it, and we've really enjoyed it. And folks, you can get a copy of it too. But now the one you're going to get is a new updated edition. It's got some more information because a lot has happened in Brother Hutchings' life and the life of this ministry since 1998, and he includes that in this new edition. If you'd like to get a copy of it, call, write, or go to our website. One copy for a gift of $18, two for a gift of $30. As It Is in the Days of Noah is the title of the book. Just ask for it by that title. Call us at 1-800-652-1144. Write to Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website, swrc.com. Brother Hutchings, we don't want to forget the Heartland Bible and Prophecy Conference this month. It comes up at the end of the month, as a matter of fact, October 27th through the 29th. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It'll be held at the Clarion Hotel and Convention Center, located at 737 South Meridian here in Oklahoma City. That's actually at Interstate 40. And Meridian Avenue. We do have special rates for those who will be staying at the Clarion, $62 per night for conference registrants. That includes an expanded continental breakfast. To make your reservations, you need to call this number, 405-942-8511. Let me repeat that again, 405-942-8511. That's to make your reservation at the Clarion Hotel and Convention Center here in Oklahoma City for the Heartland Bible and Prophecy Conference. And don't forget, that is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There's a registration fee if you wait and pay at the door, but you can avoid that registration fee by simply calling to pre-register. The number to call to do that, 1-800-652-1144. That's our regular number, 1-800-652-1144. The call center is open from 7:30 in the morning until 6 in the evening, Central Time, Monday through Friday. Stay tuned now for a Bible in the News report on most of these stations. We'll be looking for you tomorrow for another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. This is Jerry Giltner, announcer for the Watchman on the Wall broadcast. I'll be bringing you today's Bible in the News report. Since the implementation of Roe v. Wade, America has, through abortion, legally killed untold numbers of babies. Many of those abortions have been performed on teenagers. But now it's reported that some judges in some states are bowing out in cases where teens are seeking abortion. We're quoting now from the International Herald Tribune America's website, IHT.com. This story was posted on the Internet September 5th, 2005. Quote, a pregnant teenager went to the grand and imposing county courthouse in Memphis, Tennessee, early in the summer, saying she wanted an abortion. The circuit court judge refused to hear the case and announced that he would recuse himself from any others like it. Taking the life of an innocent human being is contrary to the moral order, the judge, John McCarroll, of Shelby County Circuit Court, wrote in June. I could not in good conscience make a finding that would allow the minor to proceed with the abortion. The teenager was in court because Tennessee, like 18 other states, requires a minor to obtain a parent's permission before an abortion. But the state also allows another option. Teenagers can ask a judge for permission to decide for themselves. Judges, however, are starting to opt out. Other judges of the Shelby Circuit Court have recused themselves, like McCarroll, and now, according to one judge, only 4 of the 9 judges on the court hear such abortion applications. Judges in Alabama and Pennsylvania also have said they will not take such cases. The actions, similar in some ways to pharmacist refusal on moral grounds to dispense drugs related to contraception or abortion, have set off a debate about the responsibilities of judges and the consequences of such recusals, including political ones when judges are elected rather than appointed. McCarroll's decision prompted 12 experts on judicial ethics to write to the Tennessee Supreme Court. The experts called his action lawless and said they feared that his approach could spread around the nation. Close quotes. The Bible teaches that when man's laws oppose God's laws, we should follow the Lord. We read, the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's from Acts chapter 5, verses 27, 28, and 29. It would seem that judges who cannot affirm abortion, which is against God's will, are doing the right thing. You've heard another Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. To get a complimentary copy of the Bible in the News magazine, which is published 12 times each year, call 1-800-652-1144. An annual subscription to the magazine is available for a contribution of $35. To subscribe, call or write us. The mailing address is Southwest Radio Church Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. And again, the phone number is 1-800-652-1144. Tune in for the next Watchman on the Wall program when we'll bring you another Bible in the News report on this radio station.